let's take it from where we messed up last night, where I messed up, which is on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Yaakov, what happened to this Beis Medrash guy? You haven't seen him since? What? He doesn't want to come over to you? It's obviously something I don't know. Okay. When do we start Pesachim? Okay.
This first parak of Pesachim in Yerushalmi the same as it is in
Nussbaum? I don't know any of the new guys, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, here it is. Now, this is the case which we're discussing in the Mishnah Aloch above. Mishraya b'Mizrach. Somebody was on the east. See, here he is on the east. Yaakov, can you see? Mr. Zu, can you see? Mishraya b'Mizrach, he was on the east. Bomer Livno, he said to the son, Ma'arev lo b'marav, to make an Erev to the west. Okay, so he's making an Erev to the west. Or, Lamarav, he was on the west, Ma'arev lo b'Marav, to Mizrach. He told us to make an Erev for him on, thank you. Told us to make an Erev for him on the other side. So it's the same idea. In other words, he's over here, right? And he tells us to make an Erev for me over here, right? In this direction. Now, Im says the Mishnah, Im yesh bimena lebeis alpayim amo, to his house, there's 2,000 amos. Oh, this is sorry, in this case. If it's, to his house is 2,000 amos, and the beiso leru yesimikan, his erev is beyond his house, 3,000 amos away. So mutzah beiso vasa leruvo, he's permitted to go to his house, and he's forbidden to go to his erev. Which, of course, is very strange. Why should we also go to his erev, right? So the answer is, of course, in this case, that he uses the 2,000 amos to get home. Once he uses 2,000 amos to get home, he can't go any further. That's it, he's stuck, right? So it says, but vice versa. What about vice versa? Leruva alpine. In this case, the Erev is 2,000 amos away. And the same direction, slightly beyond that, his house is 3,000 amos away, right? Leruva alpine, amol beis yesimikan, muta leruva is allowed to go to his Erev, v'osu lebeiso, he's not allowed to go to his house. So the question is, even if in this case, let's say hypothetically, the first case, his Erev ends at his house, and he can't go to his Eruv. But surely in this case, the entire concept of the Eruv is to allow him to go further. So why can he go further from this to his house? And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Okay, again, it's in more or less the same direction, perhaps off by a few degrees. Why can't the Eruv permit him to go further to his house, right? Hanosis Eruv Eburah Shel Ir. Now this is a separate case. If somebody puts his Eruv in the 72 Zamas around the city, such as the picture over here. So in that case, law so klum, it's not valid at all. Nasa chutz tchum, whenever you put it beyond the tchum, so then mashiniskar, mashiniskar hu mafsid. Whenever he gains in one direction, say he put 1,000 amos over here, beyond the city. So he gains 2,000 amos beyond that. But what did he lose on the other side? 96 amos. Why? Because the whole city is like 4 amos. And then he loses beyond the city 996 amos. Because he gets beyond the city 996 amos, losing 1,000. Because since he gained 1,000 in this direction, by having placed there 1,000 away from the city, he loses 1,000 in the other direction. Okay? So far, so good. So it says, Marmin Kasha Makshale Bar Kapora. From the Kashuch Bar Kapora asked, "Lemizrach b'no lemarav b'no." From this we deduce that Mizrach and Marav don't mean an absolute direction, meaning that the Eruv and the house are in the same direction, either west or east. Rather, Mizrach and Marav are vis-a-vis, between the house and the Eruv. And the house and the Eruv describe a triangle. And therefore, even if it's 2,000 amos to his Eruv, he can't get to his house. Why? Because his house is more than 2,000 amos away from his Eruv. And, in fact, in this case, he himself is more than 2,000 amos away from his house. Now, he meant for the Eruv to be placed in a way which would allow him to get to his house. But his son is Nebuch, not particularly big Nachas, and his son put the Eruv somewhere to more than 2,000 amos away from the house, and he, as we mentioned, is more than 2,000 amos away from his house where he's standing now, so therefore he cannot get home on Shabbos. Is that clear? Again, there's a triangle. Noah, you lost? You got it?
The hypotenuse of the triangle.
Yeah, maybe the son didn't want him home. That's possible too, right? It's not such a big klutz after all. What was the question? In this case, I understand if to his house is 2,000 amos, to his Eruv is more than that. So I can figure a scenario, mutu base of Vasil Eruva. That he's mutu go out to his house, but now can't get to his Eruv. Why? Because maybe, since he doesn't have an Eruv in this case, his whole shvisa, his whole intent was to get home, and that's where he uses 2,000 amos too, and he can't get to his Eruv. However, Eruva pai mama, lebeso yesim ikan. But in this case, I don't understand. If his Eruv is 2,000 amos away, and his house is more than 2,000 amos away, so how can you say muta eruva lebeso osri is muta to go to his house to the Eruv and not to the house? The whole point of the Eruv is to allow him to get home. So the only way in which that can work is if the east and west are not the direction which the Eruv is, but rather the gap between the Eruv and his house, which does not allow him to use the Eruv to get home. Okay? Fine? Says the Mishnah further. Anche ir gadol ma'achit. Now, once we have the Perish Chai out, it's good to use. Anche ir gadol ma'achit is called ir katana. You have a big city and a little city next to each other. Where am I? Here. You have a big city and a small city next to each other. So the big city, big city guys, Malchus Kolir Katana, they can go through the entire city. Okay, they can go through the entire city without an Eruv Tchumen. Now, the case is like this. Take a look. They got from the big city to the small city is 1,000 amos. Okay? You see that picture? Can you guys see the picture? You see that it's 1,000 amos from the big city to the small city. The whole small city is considered like Dalet Amos. Therefore, they get another 996 beyond the small city. So the people of the big city can go to the small city and beyond. Malchus Kolir Katana, and the important part of the statement which is missing, is beyond. However, Veinach Anchi Katana Malchus Kolir Gadoila, in this case, be a small city, their 2,000 amos does not encompass the entire big city. It ends in the middle of the big city, right? And therefore, they only get to go to wherever the 2,000 amos ends. That which the small city is encompassed and is only considered to be 4 amos is because the 2,000 amos of the big city encompasses the entirety of the small city, rendering the entire small city as if it's 4 amos. But since the small city's 2,000 amos does not encompass the entirety of the big city, but rather ends in the middle, they only get up to where their 2,000 amos ends. So that's the next case. However, Ketzad. Now this case has a mistake. The Yerushalmi will point out immediately after mission. It's not a Ketzad. It's a new case. Ketzad means it's an explanation. First case is not. If you have actually put an Eruv, if you're a big city, put an Eruv in an Eir Ketana. Oh! You're from the small city. But you put an Eruv down here. Not that you had your 2,000 amos and that's it, but you actually put an Eruv down within the walls, the confines of the big city. In that case, the entire big city, even for the members of the small city, is considered to be Dalet Amos. You had 2,000 amos beyond the city. where their tchum expired in the middle. So then they only get up to where it expired. But where they actually put an Eruv Tchum in, then they get the entire confines of the big city as being four amos. Do you see the logical difference between the two? Depends if they reclaim a Shvisa within the big city, they made a west resting place by putting down Eruv Tchum in, then they get the entire confines of beyond, or they did not make a resting place, they're just relying on Tchum, in which case wherever the 2,000 amos that ends, that is.
Actually, he gets 2,004 amos, because the city now is like 4 amos.
Well, he actually gets much more than that, as a matter of fact, right? Because he's actually the entire big city, no matter how large it is, he gets it.
That's considered
4 amos, right?
Then
he gets 2,000 beyond that, so he'll be getting thousands of amos, right?
2,000
plus whatever many thousands the city could be.
That's
all like Dalet Amos, right? Yeah, we're not talking about that. That could be around his small city. He's got 72. We didn't bother discussing that. Okay. Says Gemara, Rabbi Kiva ain lo mimakom eruv elapai mama. He does not agree with that. He says you only get from the place where the Erev is 2,000 Amos. You don't get the entire city as part and parcel of your Dalet Amos. You start from wherever you put the Erev Tchumin down. Kini Mas Nisa. So says, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Anchi Yerkotoy Maros Kol Yerkotano. The people of the big city can walk the entire small city. Anchi Yerkotano Emachis Kol Yerkotoy. The people of the small city can work the entire big city. Ketzad, that which it says Ketzad, Leiskan Ketzad. It ain't a Ketzad. There are two separate cases. One is where he didn't put down an Erev. The other is where he put down an Erev. Okay. Ir Mao Shetal Midas Alpine. Now the truth is, this is there are many different Perushim here. I like the Pnei Moshe's the best. He's asking in this case, I got 2,000 amos from wherever I put my city down, my Erev down. What about this city? Does it count as part of the 2,000 in this direction or not? You didn't see the question? This is my original city. Width of the city. This is my original city. I put an Erev Tchum in 1,000 amos beyond the city. Now I get 2,000 amos continuing beyond the city from the Erev Tchum. What about working backwards towards my city and beyond that? So does the city count as Dalet Amos or not? So that's what the Gemara is saying here. Ir Maush Dal Midas Apayim, Rabbi Chizkiv, Rabbi Sim, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yochan, and Ir Oilam Midas Apayim, but doesn't count as part of 2,000 Amos. Meaning, like this scenario, it only counts as 4 Amos. And I get the 1,000 Amos to the city, this city, plus 996 beyond the city. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Lezer, Berishon, are you B'nai Tveri Amach, is Kol B'nai Chamsa. Originally, people lived in Tveria would walk through the entire Chamsa, because Tveria was an Ir Gedoyla. Chamsa was an Ir Ktana, so they walked through that and was entirely within their tchum. They walked through all of Chamsa. Umnei Chamsa, however, since Umnei Chamsa was an Ir Ktana, their tchum ended in the middle of Tveria. Ein Magin El Arakipa, they only reached the dome in Tveria. It was a well-known dome, which was 2,000 amos away from Chamsa. So since they were a small city, they only got up to that dome, wherever that was. Okay? V'achshav, however, b'nei Chamsa b'nei Tveri Yir Achasi. Now, of course, Tveri and Chamsa have expanded and met each other, and therefore it's all one big city, and everybody can walk throughout the entire city reciprocally. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Maisa b'roya echad zakin. The Maisa with a certain old shepherd. Shabbat Amr came and said, "Leave Nei Rebbe in front of Rabbi Nanasi." Zochani, I remember. Shubnei Migdal Oyam Chamsa. The people from Migdal will go to Chamsa. Umachin is Kol Chamsa. Walk through all of Chamsa. Umagil they would go beyond, because Chamsa was a small city vis-a-vis them. So they go beyond there. Umagil Chotzachitzoyna Ara Gesher. And they reach the outer courtyard up to the bridge. These are all landmarks which are known to them, right? Obviously, we have no idea where those landmarks are nowadays, but they knew these landmarks. And on the basis of that, they eat. It's an Arab village or a Jewish village? Yeah, but then I'm sure whatever the Migdal originally was is now Arab village. Yeah. Probably some Arab village named Majdal somewhere. Yeah, it's always like that. All the ancient names were preserved in names of Arab villages. So wherever the Jewish village is probably just nearby, but not the exact precise place. But in any event, that's where one of Yoshka's Talmidot came from. Mary Magdalene.
That's
Migdal? Yeah, sure.
Is that what Magdalene stands for? It must be Migdal.
From the town of Migdal, yeah. See? Come to Yerushalmi, you learn New Testament too. Okay. You went to the pilgrim on a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's her term. She is from the Upper Galilee. So they would go to meet the Kolcham again. Vita Rebbe Shubnei Migdal Olim Chamsa. On the basis of this, Rebbe allowed the people Migdal could be go to Chamsa. Umachis go Chamsa. Walk through of Chamsa. Umagil Chotir. He turned and reached out of courtyard Ada Gesher up to the bridge. Vita Rebbe Shubnei God Yordim Chamsa. Here we have a nice picture of that. People of God that lived up here. People of Chamsa called Chamson in the Bavli live down here. So he allowed the people of God there to go to Chamsa. May God, you're in the Chamsa. Oil in the God there. I'm sorry, Bnei God there. Which one is God there? Yeah, Bnei God, you're in the Chamsa. Oil in the God, and they go back to God there. Then go down and up again. V'ein, Bnei Chamsa, ain't only the God there. The people of Chamsa could not go up to God there. Why is that? Rabbi Mona, Bnei Rishuyos. Because of the government. What does it mean, because of the government? So the Bavli says that they were opposing governments, and the people of God there would beat up the people of Chamsa. But they only beat up the people of Chamsa, the people of Chamsa came to them. Because they were afraid to beat them up in Chamsa, because they all had buddies, right? So what happened was, the people of God were allowed to go down to Chamsa and come back up again. But the people of Chamsa are not allowed to go up to God there, because what happened when they went to God is to get beat up. So they have anointed with Chum Shabbos. And we do purely with the practical possibility of there being major gang fights. I'm Rabbi Yisrael, no. Let me not time is that. It wasn't because of gangs. And it began to see because of the reason which you mentioned all along. There'd be a large city, meaning Gadir, encompassed Chamson, which is a small city. Chamson, which was a small city, did not encompass Gadir, which was a large city. Okay? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman Shem Rechina said, Now let's get back to our mission, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, even if you put your Arab in a city, you don't get the entire city as Daud Amos. You only get 2,000 Amos from your Arab. Says more, very interesting svara. A for creativity. Says more, my plea, when is this Mahalachim Rabbi Kim Rabbonon? The Shinos they rule a plot. If you put your Arab in an open plaza within the big city, so you only get 2,000 Amos from your Arab in all directions. However, the Shinos they rule a plot. You put your Arab in a house. In the city, after Akiva says you get the entire city of Daud Amos. Why is that? Very interesting. Because when I put it in the house, I become a resident of the big city. Right? If I put it in an open plaza, so I'm just, it's my picnic lunch. I'm not a resident, so I only get 2,000 Amos from my Eruv Tchumen, wherever it is in the city. But if I put it in a house in the city, that already acquires me Shvisa in a house in the city. Then I become like a resident of the city, and therefore I get my 2,000 Amos from the city limits wherever they are. Okay? Says my Rabbi Bubba, hey Rabbi Puppy, boy, that's the question. If that's the case, building on that, Hoysa Irsha Irva. What if the whole city had made an Eruv? So then, Even I put an Erev in a plaza, the local Mishnah say Ruah Batim, isn't it like I put it in a house? With the difference between a plaza, putting my Erev in an open area, and putting it in a house, is a natural one if there's no Erev. But if there's an Erev in the city, then that's an artificial distinction. Because I can move my Erev Tchumen anywhere I want it in the city on Shabbos. Right? Be there in from the plaza to a house and back again. It's all one big Rishus. So therefore, if it's a city where there's an Eruv present, so then even if I put my Eruv, he says, in the middle of a plaza, it's as if I put it in a house and I get 2,000 amps from around the city.
But that Eruv belongs to a big city, and you're putting an Eruv to whom? You're an outsider coming.
I guess it's allowed, though, to use an Eruv. So if it's in Chicago from outside the city, they're allowed to make use of an Eruv. So therefore, it's as if they were Koinish Misa in one of the houses.
So you're encompassing that whole Eruv,
right,
as yours.
Right. So according to me, put an Eruv, let's say a piece of bread anywhere in the middle of any of the Eruv in which we have here, so then you get 2,000 amps from the perimeter of the Eruv, wherever the Eruv is. Okay?
But if you don't own from that Eruv,
then you're stuck. Ir Shacharva. Can't have it on book. Can't have your cake and eat it too. All right. Ir Shacharva, a city which is ruined. Rabbi Lezer Omer Malchus Klub Chutz LaPay Mama. Lezer says you get the entire city and beyond the 2,000 amos. Shmuel Amar Ein Lo Mokam Eruva LaPay Mama. Shmuel says you don't get the entire city. Why is that? It's not a city anymore. What is it? A ruin. So there we don't get 2,000 amps from beyond the city. You only get 2,000 amps for every year your Erev is. Rabbi Babar Kana, Rabbi Chiyah Rashi B'Shem Rav said, I don't understand. I ask you a question. We know if you put your Erev into a corral or an animal pen, you get 2,000 amps from the perimeters of the pen. What's the difference? If I get 2,000 amas from the perimeters of the pen or corral, I should also be able to get 2,000 amas from the perimeters of a ruined city. There should be no qualitative difference between the two. Gemara doesn't answer the question. Says Gemara, Ir Chadosh, you have a new city. Even though it's got a wall, you measure the 2,000 amas from the house. Ir Yeshana, an old city, Vishana, Moid Miachomi, imagine from the war. What's the difference? Ezi Chadosh of Ezi Yishana. Do not think that old and new refer to the houses. No, refers to the war. What's old and what's new? Ezi Chadosh of Ezi Yishana, Rabbi Zir, B'Shem Rav Chisda said, Bona Batim Vachakach Bona Choy Mazui Chadosh. If first you built the house and then you built the walls, so that's new. The wall is new. And the wall in that case doesn't count. Why doesn't the wall count? Because it's not a significant wall. Why is it not a significant wall? Because you're willing to build a city without it. You built the city and then you built the wall. That means that you don't care really whether you have the wall or not. You don't care. The wall doesn't count as part of the city. And so therefore you measure that case from the houses. Ezu Yeshana went to the old city, where you measure from the wall itself, again, where the wall is old. Ezui Yishona, Rabbi Zir, Baruchai V'chakach, Bona Batim, if you build the wall and then you build the house, Ezui Yishona, that's an old city. Why is that an old city? Meaning, again, the wall is old. In that case, I measure from the wall. Why? Because the wall is integral to the city. What's the proof of that? They would not have built the houses without having built the wall first. Therefore, in that case, I measure the 2,000 amas not from the houses, but from the wall. Okay? Says the word further. Rabbi Zir Amar, now here, I don't really have to change the gear, so I can make do without changing the gear. So the stipler stone changes the gear, so I'm going to use him just because it streamlines it. I'd have to work a little bit harder not to change the gear, so and too lazy. Just being figuratively speaking. Rabbi Zira Amar, Bein Bezu Yeshana. Changes. Both of these have a status of an old city and you measure from the wall. Ein Zui Chadosha. What's a new city where you measure from the houses itself? Kol show you, but you're in the Charvu. Very interesting. It had houses in it which got ruined. So what? Since it had houses in it which got ruined, so therefore it destroys the affiliation of the rest of the houses with the wall. There's open space within the city, or ruins within the city. If there are ruins within the city, not the entire city, the wall is not considered to be affiliated any longer intimately with the houses which are still standing. Because in certain directions, the wall was protecting those houses which no longer exist. So you can't measure from the wall itself. Where do you have to measure from? From the existing houses. Again, the wall loses its validity as the bona fide perimeter of the city because there are areas in the city, large areas, which are ruined, which the wall once had affiliation with, but now no longer does. So therefore, in that case, you have to measure from the houses and not from the wall. Okay?
Even though the wall came first.
That's a chiddush. Right. Even though the wall came first. Okay? Rabbi Zira Kedaito, Rabbi Zira follows his line of reasoning. These Spalgun, we learned, Bona Tishla Shein Karpas. You bought 9 measures of the enclosure for the purpose of Karpas, meaning to enclose an open area, not to enclose a house. Vechol Shein Dyer, one for the purpose of, in fact, enclosing a house, enclosing a lived-in area. On my Rebbe, near the stipulus of changes to Rabbi Zira, I'm Rabbi Zira, as long as you build one for the purpose of dire, Areuki dire, that one is the one which is considered to be a house. But, again, following the stipulus of son here, only that one and not the other ones. Whereas if you build 10 enclosures close together, but only one of them has a residence within it, so I don't look at all the 10 enclosures at one. I look only at the one enclosure which has the house in it. And therefore, in this case also, even though I have a wall around a very broad area, which was once a city, because most of that city now is destroyed, I can only measure from the area which is still actually inhabited from those houses and not from the wall. Okay? So we have to have a significant dwelling in order to measure from that location. Next Mishnah, Loch Ches. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Akiva said to the Rabbanan, do you not concede to me? But no saying as a ruva apia ma'ara, that if you put your ear on the mouth of a cave, she'ein lo mimbokom a ruva el apai mama. He's only got 2,000 amos from where he puts his eruv down, not from the outer extent of the cave. So too, you should concede to me the point here, that the 2,000 amos are from where his eruv chumen is, not from the outer perimeter of the city. Says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, no. Amru la, lo, we don't concede to you the point. Amos said, when do we concede to you? Only bisman she'em but yurin, only where the cave is uninhabited. Where the cave is inhabited, tank it. You measure from the perimeter of the cave. Malik is kula the chutzula apai mama. If we have a picture here, in this case, over here you get the entirety of the cave. Right. By the way, here's the ruined city. Israelite, and here you're getting from the walls. The alternative Gemara just cuts Kor Rabbi's ears just to give him from the place where he is in the middle of the city. But in any event, I don't like, is there a better cave picture? I don't like that one. Yeah. Still not so good. They don't have a good cave picture here. But the bottom line here is if you have a dwelled-in cave, you have 2,000 amas from the end of the cave, not from where you're standing. Okay, if it's not there's no dwelling, so then the cave doesn't count. But we're talking a cave similar to a city which has dwellings, say Rabbana has the same parameters of a city. Nimtza kaut mitocha miau gabo. Now there's the leniency within the cave than outside than above the cave, because above the cave it's just through ground. You don't get 2,000 amas above ground, but if you go into the cave, and use the cave to get 2,000 amos from the end of the cave. And the Gemara is going to explain in greater detail. However, if he's measuring 2,000 amos from where he is, then doesn't call him a marav. There's no eruv. He didn't put down an eruv, right? Remember, we all agreed upon this. If he put an eruv, so then he can get the entire cave. But if it's just measuring 2,000 amos where he's standing, so he gets 2,000 amos, which end no matter where they end in the cave, he doesn't go beyond that. In order to get the entire cave, he's got to put an eruv tchumin in the cave. Says my Yaakov, Acham Hashem, Rabbi Elazar said, Kalu akoyin shvisa bekarpav. It's a leniency in a guy who acquires a shvisa on Shabbos in the karpav, who acquires who puts down an eruv tchumin in the karpav. I mean, I know it's he doesn't put down an eruv tchumin. He acquires shvisa, he goes and he stands there. That's what we're talking about. He goes, he stands there on Shabbos, so I'm putting an eruv tchumin in the karpav. How so? Hakoina shvisa bikarpav, if you acquire shvisa in the karpav by actually going physically standing there on erev Shabbos saying, here I am, then malchus kula v'chutz l'apayim amos, you get the entire enclosed area, the entire enclosure, and beyond the 2,000 amos. However, hanosen eruva bikarpav, if you just put down your bread in the karpav, elo mi mokam eruva l'apayim amos, he doesn't get the entire enclosure, only 2,000 amos. Very strange. Why do we say this? That's more. Amrachid Abreda Avila, Machlokas Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. This is really a Machlokas Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. How so? Rameir says, Ika Eruv, the primary way of making Eruv is Bekikar, is with a loaf of bread. So if, Benosin Eruv, Bekarpef, Elam, Mimoko, Elam, Mokam Eruv, Pai Mama, if, when you put your bread down, you only get 2,000 amos. Certainly, if you go there in your own feet, in your feet, you only get 2,000 amos. Because going with your feet is a leniency. It's not going to be better than putting down a piece of bread. And if according to this Tana, when you put down a piece of bread, all you get is 2,000 amos, because it's a karpaf and not a city. Rabbi, so let me make that clear. In a city, you put down a piece of bread, we all agree to get 2,000 amos beyond the city. In a karpa, if you put down a piece of bread, you don't get 2,000 amos beyond it. Why is that? Why the difference? Because the city is all considered to be a mokum dira, a dwelling place. So therefore, you put an eruv anywhere in the city, we said, at least if it's in one of the houses, maybe if it's in one of the plazas, if there's an eruv in the city, you get 2,000 amos beyond the city. But in a karpa, if it's just enclosed area without any diurin, without any residences there. So therefore, you put down a piece of bread, you only get 2,000 amos from the piece of bread, not beyond that. And certainly, Grimeir, if you walk there on your own, you still only get 2,000 amos for every year standing in Erev Shabbos. However, like Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ikar Erev Beraglov. Rabbi Yehuda, it's the primary way of making Erev is by actually going there. Right? So if that's the case, we Rabbi might say, well, you only get 2,000 amos so you put down a piece of bread, which is the substitute, secondary, not as good procedure. But if you actually walk there and acquired shvisa in the karpav, you just made the karpav a diur. By standing there and designating it, you made it your mokum diur for this Shabbos. If you made it your mokum diur for this Shabbos, so then, you walk the entire karpav and beyond the 2,000 amos. Because you designated it for it's your place for resting for Shabbos. Now, Gaga Migdol, if you have the roof of a tower, Nidon Kier, it's like a city. And you get beyond the rooftop 2,000 amos, beyond the tower. However large the tower or the fortress is, you get 2,000 amos beyond it. Gaga Mora, what if you have the rooftop of a cave? Nidon Kusos, so that's like fields, and it doesn't extend your 2,000 amos. The only way you extend your 2,000 amos is through the cave, not if you're above the cave. And therefore, Rabbi said, in order to extend your Eruv Tchum, your Tchum, through a cave, how many entrances does the cave have to have? At least two. Because the extension is through the cave. So if it's through the cave, there must be another exit in order to extend in that direction. That's what Gemara is about to say. Says the Gemara, not yet. A gaga, ma, dear mamish, a few of you in there. First of all, the cave. Do you actually have to live in it? That's a nice picture over here. See, here's the lived-in cave. Beds. It's an entire college, entire city somewhere in Missouri underneath the ground caves. Where is it?
Merrimack
Caverns? Okay. No, they have a college library underneath the ground somewhere in the same area, and they have a whole industrial park underneath the ground. There's salt mines, and the salt mines are vacated, and it's very, you don't need any air conditioner heating because it's the same temperature year round. So there, it's very economical. So there, it's salt mine is Roy Ladira. You actually have to have set up shop there? No. He says, Real Adira, dear Mad, your mom should feel real Adira. Me mother, my rabbi, it's a rabbi, Khanib, Sher, Banach, Sher, Machina. Very interesting comparison. It's an asinera, Khina. Atlea, so Kula, Kilu, Molim, Lea, Mine, Petit. When you have a trench which you need to get over, so you can look at it as if it's full of water and pitch, as if it's full, that you can count, measure over it. In terms of your Erev Tchumen. Remember, we said that's a gorge where it gets wider on the bottom than on top, so you look at it as if it's full, and you measure on top, not on bottom. So, same thing you can say here, that we look at it as if, Adom Rafil, we say here, we look at it as if it was suitable, even though right now it's not being used actually to live in. So, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Lezer, Adom Raz teaches us, now the next word is a big, big typo. Not ear, but rather Ma'ora. A cave. Cave sheishla shnei psachim. It's got two doors. Im yesh ben zilzu arbas alof imam uchaser achas. And between the two doors, on top, there's less than 4,000 amos. Right? So the mahalach is kula. You can go on top the entire length of the cave. The chutzah paimam and beyond the 2,000 amos as well. Why is that? Oh, well, first of all, arbas alof imam. If on the surface it's more than 4,000 amps between the openings, then you can't do that on top. Our basalofi mama, elimokum eruv elapai mama, you only get 2,000 amps from wherever you put the eruv. Why is that? Why is the difference? So this is more Amar Rabbi Bo, right? Bo said, Asbar Rabbi Zir, Rabbi Zir explained. In Yitin, similar to an explanation we had earlier in the parak about a city which looks like a bow and a bow and arrow. Similar idea. In Yitin Sadoli Hocha, if you put your sandals at opening number one, who I say you can come Bida. It says Bora, but it should be Da. And go through the cave, Vinasi Lahon, and take them, even if he's at the other end. Why? Because he goes on the ground, right? In Yitin Sadoli Hocha, if you put your sandals on the other end, Huasi Bedoy comes underneath the ground, and that's going to take them through the other direction. So, Mabin Asi Bedoy, Mabin Asi Bedoy. What's the difference if you can do it underground or do it above ground? He wants it's only mutter if he goes one way, meaning underground. It's not mutter if he goes the other way, meaning above ground. Should be no difference. So, the bottom line is we say, as long as they're less than 4,000 amps between the openings, we say that that you can go above ground between the openings and go 2,000 amps beyond. So really you have 8,000 amps here. 2,000 to the opening. Actually, 7,999. 2,000 till the opening. 3,999 between openings. And 2,000 beyond the second opening. If between the two openings is more than 4,000 amps, so I can't say that. Because at the very least, I have to have some overlap between the tchum created by one cave opening and the other cave opening. Otherwise, it looks too lenient and I can't get away with it. Okay? Now, hypothetically, I can still walk below ground. Even if between the cave openings there are 6,000 amps, 8,000 amps, I can still go 2,000 amps to my cave, go in my cave, and come out the other end and go another 2,000 amps. But above ground, if I'm not going to go through the cave, I only get up to 4,000 amps. Not more than that. Again, because it looks like too much if I get more than 4,000 amps. It has to be that the tchum of the one opening overlaps with the tchum of the other opening. Okay? Says again, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chiya said, "Imaisa gagel shemar abas aluf imama." If the roof of the cave is 4,000, obviously it's slightly less. Malchus Kuli can walk the entire opening, the chutzla and beyond it, apay imama. Now, period, big period there. New issue. Al gabi choyma, if it's on top of a wall, in other words, you're walking on a wall of a city which extends out in some direction. That should be not there filu, but afilu, without the dalet. Filu kama mutzer, there's no limit. In other words, the wall is extended, considered to extend the air of Tchumin in that direction. So you can walk on the Great Wall of China forever, and then walk 2,000 amas beyond the end of the wall. The wall is an extension, so it's just unto itself, it extends. Okay? Now getting back to the cave, if the roof of the cave is 6,000 amos, malchus kula v'chutzla, so then how are you going to go on top? So it's still possible to go on top and beyond it, aide nivarios, by air holes. Meaning, as long as I have a hole in the roof of the cave, every 4,000 amos, even if the roof of the cave is more than 4,000 amos, so then they're considered connected. Again, the main thing is to make overlapping tchumen. It's a fascinating concept. This cave really gives you a tremendous kula. Normally you get 4,000 amos, that's it. You get cave roof every 2,000 amos, or every 4,000 amos, every 399 amos, you can continue walking above ground as much as your heart desires. Okay? Achrei gagin mau. What if you want to walk on top of roofs? They're like cave entrances. Right. Connects above ground and below ground, so therefore whatever's going on below can influence the top. Okay? Yeah, otherwise if there's no connection after 3999 it stops. Because you have to have lots of tchumen. Each tchum has to overlap with the next one you go into. Yeah. The top of roofs, what's their status? Mine. Rabbi Yassi b'shem Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Rabbi Yani b'Barpazi b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov Mati boy said it b'shem Shmuel. Achrei gagim metalim b'en in carry. Talk about carrying now. On rooftops, afilu kura, even astronomical sun. So a tremendous amount of rooftops which connect. You can still carry it from as many of them as you want. Why? Because the Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis carrying. We learned that already many times. Vis-a-vis carrying, you can't carry something which started in a house and then went into a courtyard to another courtyard. But you can still carry something which started in a courtyard into another courtyard and also started on one roof into another roof. So he says there's no limit, even if they're very, very large roof areas. Says we have our old limitation, which is up to pace a sign 5,000 square amps, not more than that. The words of Rav argue that the Tietamon, or actually it's an argument. Rav Shmuel agrees, but Rav argues. Mr. Rapligi, today at time we learn Kogagos here Rosh Hashanah. All the rooftops in the city of one Rishus. Shmuel Amar Beis Hassayim. Shmuel says up to a Beis Hassayim. Rav Amar Matali Ben Rav says, Yafilu Kura, Filu Kurayim, even much more. Hi Achori Gagi, Achori Sfina. And if you're going from the deck of one ship to another, it's the same idea. You go from deck to deck, no matter how many ships are lashed together, it's not a problem. Okay? Hadrul Akeitza Marvin, new Perek Hadovavar. Hadorim Akum Chotzer. You live with a guy in your courtyard. Oy Mishena Motivator, but with a guy who scoffs at the Loch of Eruv. Ha'reiz Oyster love you may not carry. Until you do what, Rabbi Sai? Not Kone, but. Not purchase, but. Rent. Schiris Rishus. You have to rent the right to carry from your neighbor the goy. You don't pass in that way. All right, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Meir, loyal men oisar chushnei Israeli moisim zelze. You need to have two Jews who ask each other, meaning they require an Erev Chatzeres, and then have a goy. Two Jews and a goy, only then do you have two Schiris Rishus. If you have one Jew, one goy, Chazal did not require you to do Schiris Rishus there. Why not? Who remembers? Right, because it's a milsul shchira. It's not a prevalent case because we're afraid the goy is going to kill you. So people don't live with one goy in the same courtyard because they're afraid of the goy. But if you have two Jews together in the courtyard, they will live with the goy. And Chazal didn't like that. So to discourage that situation, that prevalent situation, they made you rent for the goy, and the goy's not going to want to rent to you. And in that case, you'll have to move out and leave the goy behind. Okay, that was the rationale. Okay, chatzish lachem kedir shobeim, or should kedir v'sar shobeim. We're establishing a premise which everybody agrees with. A chatzir of a goy is like the corral of an animal. The problem is, what's the size of the corral of an animal? Rabbi Masivin, Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov, the rabbis asked Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov, hey, Eli Yisrael Be'ema Shudayim B'chotzer, if you have a Jew and an animal living in a courtyard together. Now the animal, of course, he doesn't own the courtyard. It's somebody else's animal. You got a Jew sharing a courtyard with an animal which belongs to somebody else. So in that case, Shema Hena Be'ema Seres, doesn't the animal forbid you from carrying until you went to rent the right to carry? Or until you make an Erev Chatzeres with its owner? And so to a goy, Shem Shabbe Moseres, Kachakum Moseres, a goy is no worse than an animal. Says more, Rabbi Elizabeth, Masib Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov Rabboni said the exact opposite. Of course he's no worse than an animal. But I hope by an animal, you don't have to be Socher, you don't have to do Erev Chatzeres Kirshishos. You don't have to go to the animal, the owner of the animal, and make a contract with him. I owe. What, you think the animal answers? I owe the exact opposite of you. The animal doesn't answer. Kashem Shena Be'emo Seres, just like the animal doesn't answer, Kach Akumeno Seres, so too the Akugoy doesn't answer. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov said, Halok Rabbi Yochum Enuri. I love the Rabbi Yochum Nuri, who said way back when in the first pair, Cheftze Efker Kodim Shvisa. Objects which do not have ownership, they could still only move their 2,000 amos wherever you find them on Shabbos. They acquire Shvisa of Tchum. Says more, Rabbi Yoshi, boy, Mats, Richa, why did you have to tell me this? So I'll tell you why, what's the Kiddush? It's Pasha. So he said, no. Kadoi the Tani Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov Oimer. Like Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov and our Mishnah holds, there's no rishus for behemoth, so I might have thought that he holds that Cheftze Hefker also don't have rishus. Just like an animal's rishus is not a valid rishus, and therefore you don't have to be socher rishus or do a ruvi chatzeres from the owner of the animal. So I might have thought certainly Cheftze Hefker have no status in halacha, and Arjus Hefker has no status, and therefore doesn't have its own particular tchum. So like him, I have to say no. They're two separate halachas. By Erev Chatzeres, I don't have to make an Erev Chatzeres to the owner of the animal or Tzchiras Hashus from the owner of the animal. But for Tchum Shabbos, even an object which is Hefker acquires the Tchum of 2,000 amos from wherever it is. And so he says, Ma Tzvicha Kadon Rebbe Elizabeth Ben Yaakov, Tani Rebbe Elizabeth Ben Yaakov Oimer, Baram Krabonon, but like Rabbonon, Chaluki Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri. Think Rabbonon, are you Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri? Rabbi Yochum Rabbonon say that an animal gets its own rishus. So they certainly would all the Cheftze Hefker according to Shvisa as well. Though it's like Rabbanah, it's partially possible like Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri. The Chiddush is even like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds an animal that has no rishus, nonetheless, it's only vis-a-vis carrying. We don't have to take the animal or the goy into account. But vis-a-vis Tchum Shabbos, even a Hefker object can only move 2,000 amos wherever it was at the beginning of Shabbos. Okay? Halacha base. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Gamliel said, Maisib Stoiki Echos, Maisib Certain Stoiki, there was an irreligious Jew. Shoyah Dari Mona Ben Mavi Yerushalayim, live with us in a Mavi in Yerushalayim, in a courtyard. Amar Lanu Abba, so my father said, Rashin Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel's father said, Maru Votiyos Akein LaMavi, quickly take the objects out into the Mavi, into our alleyway, Achlo Yotzi B'Yasar Alechem, lest he come to take stuff out and forbid you from carrying. Now, what case are we talking about? So, the talking about a case where the goy was mevatel's rishus to you, not the goy, the tzoki was mevatel's rishus to you before Shabbos. Thing is, anytime on Shabbos, said the father Ben Gamliel, he might renounce that. So, therefore, you better chaparai before Shabbos begins and take whatever you can out into the mavui. assert your ownership on the Mobley to the exclusion of this guy, of the Tzedoki, and that way he won't be able to cancel. Now, the point which the Gemara is trying to make from the year is that only Bitul Rishus works by its Tzedoki, not Schiras Rishus. Because otherwise that would be Socha Rishus. Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar B'losh HaCheres. Amar B'losh HaCheres in a different language. Ma'aruva Asu Tzorcheichem B'mavui Achlo Yotzi B'yatzer Alechem. Go and do your needs from before Shabbos. Before it forbids you. Now, so I'm not exactly sure the difference is, but the Korban Eidah says, according to Tanakama, Mahlochi Tanakama Rabbeinu's whether the Tzedoki is like a goy. Tanakama holds that the Tzedoki is not a goy. Because otherwise, let them just be Socher Rishus from him. They should have been Dinskir, just not worried about Bittul. Rabbi Yehuda says he is like a goy, and it could have been Socher Rishus. So what was he saying, the father? He's saying oh, I got it. Okay, fine. This is the case. Machlokas was like this: was the Tzedoki Mevata Rishus or not? So Tanakama holds the Tzedoki was a Mevata Rishus. So that's why he told his kids, go take stuff out to assert the Bittul before Shabbos begins, lest he renege on the deal. Why didn't you just tell him to do Schiras Rishus to rent? So it must be Schiras Rishus doesn't work by Tzedoki because the Tzedoki isn't like a Jew. And by Jew, Schiras Rishus doesn't work only Erev Chatzeros, meaning we get together and bread, or a Bittul where the Jew renounces all his ownership. Rabbeinu said, didn't say that the father said, take out your objects to assert ownership, but rather do everything you need to do before Shabbos. Why is that? So the way the Korban Eidah explains it, because he holds Bittul Rishus doesn't work by the guy. They can't do Bittul Rishus from him. Doesn't work. Because Bittul Rishus only works by whom? By a Jew. Only a Jew can give out the Rishus, not a goy. The Gemara in Bavli says, maybe Yushan will say later too, Asher PM Diber Shav. We don't trust the goy as Mevat Rishus to us. He's not sincere. Yeah, he's being Mevat Rishus to a Jew, right? Renouncing all ownership to a Jew. Anechte Gatog, he's not going to do something like that. Baloney. But so therefore he's saying, you can't do Bittul because he's like a goy. You could have done Schirus. For some reason it didn't work here. But he could have done Schirus, but Bittul he can't do because he's like a goy. So therefore, whatever he needs to do, do before Shabbos, because on Shabbos will be for foul and you can't do anything with it. Before Shabbos, right. Okay? Actually, me both yom. The Korban said. Rabbi Yaakov B'Shem, Rabbi Chiya B'Shem Kohana said, ain't look Rabbi Yehuda. I always like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that this Mechal Shabbos is not like a goy. So he could do Bittul Rishus. We're just afraid he's going to renege on his Bittul Rishus. The low cane, mine on Omrin. So says Gemara, what's the Chiddush? What else would we say? Rabbi Yehuda Chachoy Mitei Alok Rabbi Yehuda? He wants a Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? That would be a Paskin like a Yochid, a Mokum Rabbi. Like it was a solitary opinion place, so there's a majority. So what would be the Havamina? I'll tell you what the Havamina would be. Begin the Marabi Yaakov, Rahidim Shem, Mishum, Levi. Halach is even Mishum, Mekel, Bilchus, Erevin. Halach is like the leaning opinion in Erevin. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that, he's like a goy, which is more lenient, meaning because you can do scarce of shus from him, right? So therefore, I might say, Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachum Asher Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi said, "Hello, Rabbi Yochum Nuri. Hello, Rabbi Yochum Nuri." In that case of Chefze Hefker Kodem Shvisa, we pass Rabbi Yochum Nuri because he's a kula, because he says they get 2,000 amos. Suppose Chaim said that you can't carry them at all. So I might say over here, the kasha lay located on my biyakobi there, my bishul malev located even mishur mekel bechol teirvin. So why do I have to say logos for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? A logos always like to make a little seirvin. So it says the Gemara. Logan my Rabbi you may be shame now be shame be shame look Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Well, Cain mixed up because it's Cain time for Mar. But the answer is, which will come to tomorrow, I might have thought that logos could even make a seirvin even when it's a yochim makom rabim. That's why he said it's only a logos could even make a seirvin where it's a yochid against the yochid, not a yochid against the rabim. I'll come back to it.